Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord, our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you go on a trip, children will often say things like this to their parents. Are we there yet? Is it much further now? Are we almost there? Well, although we think this is a thing that only children do, I think we as adults often say the same thing about the Lord's second coming. Are we there yet? Is it much further now? Are we almost there? So today I'd like to talk with you about this very thing, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How close are we to the end of the age, to the end of this world, to the coming of God's new world? How close are we to the Lord Jesus' second coming on the clouds of heaven according to his promise? And I want to see if we can get, by the scriptures, a general idea of our present position in God's great unfolding plan of the ages for your encouragement in the faith. So what would God teach us? What can we learn about how close are we to the end of this world and the coming of all God's promises? Let's take a look at the scriptures and see what he'd say about God, Jesus' second coming, when we're to expect it, and how soon it may come. The first thing we need to ask ourselves in this is, establish, is Jesus really coming again after all? And we can answer that question in Acts chapter 1, where the apostles see Jesus ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and while they're gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven, he will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." He will come. And I testify to you today the truth. Jesus will return. He will come again. As Jesus himself sat at his trial before the high priest, "I tell you, from now on you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So, will Jesus come? He will indeed come again to this world. The first time to deal with sin, the second time to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. But now, what will that day look like, the day of our Lord's return? Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And so we are watching and waiting for a new world. This one is doomed to destruction. And what are we like? Oh, we just had Thanksgiving. You have a good Thanksgiving? We are like the pilgrims who, in the early days of America, set out from an old world, from England, from Europe, from a dark world where there was tyranny and they had not the freedom to worship. And they set out to cross the raging seas in the hopes of gaining a bright new world that was full of plenty, freedom, and promise. And we are in the same way. We've set out from the old world of sin, leaving that dark world behind. We've climbed aboard Christ for salvation, upon the ship of his church. And in Christ, by faith in him, we have the forgiveness of our sins. We've climbed aboard him to brave the raging seas, cross the North Atlantic, the trackless oceans, that we might gain a new world. In other words, the new heavens and the new earth, which God will one day bring. But as with the pilgrims, they crossed over many, many days, and all they saw was churning blue horizon. And I imagine they thought to themselves, how long is this all there is, just churning blue horizon and sea and waves, day after day? How long, Captain, will it be before we sight lands? We may say the same things, for we desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. When will we make landfall? When will our Lord come and bring the kingdom of God up over our horizon into full view? Well, let's see what Jesus says about that. Turn to Mark chapter 13, verse 32. Jesus says, "But of that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only." So what's the word from the skipper to the crew? He says, God knows the day on which you will make landfall, but you don't know the day. And so what do I say to you while you're waiting for that day? You don't know when land is going to come up. I say to you, stand watch and be alert. For I once sailed in Maine, as you know, and we had a lot of foggy days up there, and I was set as a bow watch a lot of times on the schooner. And sometimes I'd think I saw land ahead, but it was very hard to tell. Some things I thought were land weren't. But then I thought I heard a seagull. I thought I heard waves on a beach. I thought I saw a flash of a light from a lighthouse. And all of a sudden, in an instant of time, it appears. Well, in the same way, God says, you don't know the day. I know when you're going to land. You don't know. You are on my ship. But my word to you is be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Jesus says, be awake, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Are you awake? Are you looking for his coming? Well, know that it surely will come. Columbus set out, didn't he? He went to a place that he only dreamed was out there. Everybody else thought he was going to die, and there was nothing out there, but he believed, and after many days, he did set his foot on the new world. Noah was at sea for a whole year. He sent out a raven and a dove to see if perhaps land was coming. But one day, the ark did come to rest on dry earth. Israel left Egypt, wandered 40 years in the wilderness. How long? How long, O Lord? But one day, they did cross the Jordan and set their feet in the promised land. And the pilgrims left England across the frothy Atlantic. But after 2 months, 66 days, they did set their feet upon the new earth and even walked on ye Plymouth Rock. Well, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And what are we to do? What are we to be watching for? If you're traveling across the ocean, as indeed we are, on this great ark of the church to God's new world, we're to be looking for signs of the coming of land. That's what you do on watch. The pilgrims scanned the clouds. They observed the waves. They sounded the ocean depths. You know how that works? You take a lead line, lead on one side, long line with a long rope, and you toss it out, and it goes down, and you measure the depth of the water. And the linesman calls back, "By the mark, 60 fathoms, 50 fathoms, sir. By the mark, 40, 15. By the mark, 10, sandy bottom." What's that indicating to you? You're getting close. It's not going to be 10 fathoms in the middle of the ocean. How close are we to land? Well, Jesus has given us things to watch for, to cast our lead line into the water, to measure the depths and see what is our general position with respect to his great coming. Well, let's take a look at some of those things he wants us to look for while we stand watch. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age?" Jesus answered, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I'm the Christ.' And they'll lead astray many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." So, here are some things to look for. You are the Lord's watchman standing on the ship. What do you see when you look out on the earth? Well, I see wars. For example, in the last century. Of course, we've never been free from war. There have always been wars. But in the last century, the International Red Cross says that over 100 million people died in the two world wars and the following conflicts. We're also looking for famines. Do you know that today 44 million people die per year of starvation? 30 per minute. according to, I think it's the World Health Organization. We don't really experience that so much here in America, but it's very prevalent in the world. Pestilences, well, HIV, AIDS, and such things, drug-resistant forms of diseases, and earthquakes. In 1800 to 1900, there were 645 major earthquakes. 1900 to 1994, 1,845. 1994 to 2000, in just 7 years, 1,163. And I know Betty's been overseas to see the impact of the Asian tsunami, which took, 250,000 lives or so, and the Haiti earthquake of a similar number. So if you're casting out your lead line, God says, don't be alarmed, but by the mark, 60 fathoms, it's shoaling up. How about increase in knowledge? What to look for? Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael the great prince, who has charge of a people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as has never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people will be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. You think knowledge has been increasing? Certainly wisdom is not really increasing, but knowledge, certainly. Do you know that up to about 150 years ago, the fastest we could go pretty much was 25 miles an hour on a horse? And then we have, on the way to the moon, doing 25,000 miles per hour in a very short amount of time. We had the first electric engine developed in the 1830s or so, and now you can put about 100 Encyclopedia Britannicas on the head of a pin, more or less. The Wright brothers discovered flight in December 17th, 1903, but now we can do what, Mach 4, Mach 5? And in 1969, just 67 years after getting off the ground, we're walking on the moon. Does that sound like knowledge is increasing to you? And it's going so fast, I'm just totally left behind. I tell people I'm left in the 1800s, basically. But we got iPads, we got instant communication around the world, nuclear power, and one scientist says that knowledge has been doubling every year and will double every 73 days by 2020. So Daniel says that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. So if you're sailing across the waters of time on the ship of God's church, looking for when will land appear, and Jesus says this is one of the signs, what do you say? You say, last night, sir, I thought I smelled evergreens in the air. I'm not sure, but I thought I smelled trees coming close. What else are we to look for? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, wars, famines, and pestilences are just but the beginning of the birth pangs. Jesus says the gospel to the whole world, that's the sign of the end, my coming. And indeed, where has the gospel been? 4 billion people have heard, 50 million Bibles per year are distributed, 80 million New Testaments, 2,233 languages have heard it, 98% of the earth's population by some estimates. I would say, 40 fathoms, sir, and sandy bottom. Moral decline, aren't we getting better? Isn't society just so uplifting to you when you look at the news? 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Paul says, but understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there'll come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. No, not that one, huh? We don't really see that much. Yeah, we see that a whole lot, don't we? How many of you growing up, or even to say in the 1950s or so, would have ever imagined 1999 Columbine High School or 2007 Virginia Tech massacre? I mean, things have always been bad, but now we have open, lewd behavior on television sets. We're now voting to decide whether to have same-sex marriages legalized. Did you ever imagine these things would happen several decades ago? But these are prophesied. And in the last days, Peter says, scoffers will come with scoffing. And so as we cast the lead line once again, by the mark, 30 fathoms, reefs ahead, sir. 30 fathoms. How about persecution? Matthew 24, verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, Christians have always been persecuted, but in the last century, it was the biggest persecution of Christians. And actually, there was an estimate of 163,000 per year die as martyrs. I'm thankful I live in America, where I might get persecuted but not killed, generally. But in other parts of the world, it's harder. By the mark, 20 fathoms, 20 fathoms. A fathom, by the way, is 6 feet. A great falling away in the church is prophesied. Matthew 24, verse 10, and Jesus says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness is increased, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. We don't see really a falling away in the churches, do we? Well, amongst the Episcopal clergy, or the Anglican Church, only a third of them, actually at least a third of them, don't believe in the virgin birth. I would say more. The bishop of the Episcopal Church has said Jesus is a way to God, but certainly not the way and truth and life. I had a friend who was going to be ordained as a Presbyterian Church USA. He was scared to death of his ordination interviews. You know why? Because he's afraid that they'd ask him about the resurrection if he believed Christ really was raised from the dead on the third day. Because he believed it. He's afraid if they knew that, they wouldn't ordain him. And in the ELCA, Lutheran Church, last year, God decided to change his mind. And he is now for having lesbian and gay preachers of his word. Now, we're to love gay and lesbian, but nevertheless, has God really changed his mind concerning these kinds of things? The sheep, the wolves in sheep's clothing are bolder, but happily, so also are the sheep. By the mark, 15 fathoms. We also look for Antichrist. You've probably heard a lot about that with the Left Behind series and things like that, which I believe are an incorrect understanding of it. But Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, where does he say this? Let me read it from here. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to meet him, we beg you not to be quickly shaken in mind or excited. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Have we seen him arrive? Some look for him outside the church, but I look for him inside the temple, as the scriptures teach. And since the 1500s, the Lutheran Church has said that this is the office of the Pope. And where do we get that? Well, in 1894, we have this Pope Leo XIII said in his encyclical letter on June 20th, we hold upon this earth the place of God Almighty. Pope Pius V in 1560 said, the Pope and God are the same, so he has all power in heaven and earth. And Pope John XXIII in 1958, November 4th, said, the Savior himself is the door of the sheepfold. Into this fold of Jesus Christ, no man may enter unless he be led by the sovereign pontiff. And only if they be united to him can men be saved. And so these are some of the reasons we've looked to the Pope as fulfilling this prophecy. Not that individual popes themselves can't be saved, but the office has specifically condemned our gospel. So, by the mark, 10 fathoms. That's 60 feet. We're not in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean anymore, my friends. I smell evergreens in the air. No, actually, I smell the roses of Sharon. Have you smelled them? They're very beautiful this time of year, this new world that we're heading to. We're also looking for a time of peace, as Paul prophesies in 1 Thessalonians 5. But Jesus concludes all these saying, from the fig tree learn its lesson. When, as soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. In other words, we can't know exactly when we're going to make landfall. Columbus didn't, the pilgrims didn't, Israel didn't, and Noah didn't. Nevertheless, they made landfall one day. And we have signs here saying, we're getting close. And if you're standing on watch, Paul says, you're not in darkness for this day to surprise you like a thief. For you're sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of night or of darkness. So let's not sleep as others do, but let's keep awake and be sober. Now, how does this sermon strike you? Has it scared you? Well, God says, don't be alarmed by these things. But rather, when you see these things begin to take place, lift up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We're excited to be coming near to that shore where we will thirst no more, neither hunger anymore. And Peter says, set your hope fully upon that grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews says, we run the race looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I'm your skipper on this little boat in the great Navy. And I say, though I do not know the exact day we'll make landfall, I tell you this truth, that I see the signs that we're getting close, and I'm expecting to raise land over the horizon any day now. So don't lose courage. Encourage each other. Be zealous. Be obedient. Stand watch. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be enthusiastic, because our Lord has promised us, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? And he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. But according to his promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth which righteousness dwells. Can you see it with me today? Can you smell those evergreens, the roses of Sharon? Can you hear the thundering roll of the waves upon the beach? It's close. For here we have no lasting city in this world, but we seek the city which is to come. And Jesus promised us, behold, I am with you always to the close of the age. To when? To the close of the age, I am with you always, says our great captain, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. So faint not, nor fear, but be excited. For you, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, and land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Where God dwells with us and says, behold, I make all things new. Therefore, what I say to you, I say to all, watch. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll please stand, and let's recount our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.